Hey, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com, and I am here with the illustrious Annie Sprinkle. Annie, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here, Chris.
Annie is a former sex worker, a sex artist, an educator, a PhD in human sexuality, and most recently, the launcher of the ecosexual movement, along with her partner, Beth Stevens. And she has been in the sex field for over 40 years, is that right?
Yeah, 40 years this year.
So you have a lot to teach us all about sexuality and the body and breath and spirit. And we first met over 10 years ago at Vassar College, where we brought you to teach a weekend full of events. And as kind of a bonus event, you led a small group of us in an orgasmic breath practice. And I really look back on that as my real initiation into the sex field. I remember coming out of that event and feeling so alive and so good in my body that how could I do anything but dedicate my life to teaching about sex and pleasure? So I thought it was a great idea to interview you about breath work. And breath is one of those sexual techniques that's really overlooked. And a lot of people don't take it seriously because it's so simple. And yet you and I both know it is one of the most profound, life-changing experiences. So let's talk about breath. When were you first introduced to the concept of breathing as part of an erotic experience?
Wow. I think it was when I was making a porn movie in about 1975, and the director, Joe Sarno, told me, I loved doing the sex scenes, but I always found the acting hard. And because I'd get nervous if I had to memorize stuff. So he really would coach me, like, to breathe as part of acting. And he also would sometimes say during the sex scenes, you know, well, let's hear some breathing, you know. Mm. And I think also, of course, phone sex, you know, it's like, oh, you know, phone sex is a lot about breathing. Right. And so I really was introduced to it in pornography and doing sex work. That's just like, we aren't conscious of it necessarily, but I was aware of it being part of the whole sex thing. But I worked as a photographer and a writer for Penthouse magazine and Penthouse Forum, and I would get them to pay for me to go do all these workshops. And my mind was really blown when I went to take a workshop with Harley Swiftier. Mm. And it was in Michigan. It was in a suburban community. And there were about 40 people there who looked really kind of suburban. And at the end of 2 days, you know, everybody was practicing Kwadoshka, which was a Native American sex workshop. And they laid down and they started doing what they call the fire breath orgasm, and had this gigantic full body orgasm in a like wagon wheel shape. Like they were with their heads towards the center and everybody fanned out across this big living room. And I was stunned. And I was like, I thought I knew a lot. I'd been around the block. I'd done a lot of kinds of sex stuff, and that blew me away because they were dressed and they were not touching their genitals. They just laid down and they had full body energy orgasms just with their breath. So I was determined to learn how to do that. And I did. It took me a few years. And then my friend Kutira from Hawaii was teaching what she called at that time oceanic tantra. And she would teach this thing where you'd stand and you'd undulate and you'd breathe. And it was a standing version of what Harley did, but laying down. Hmm. And that's really where I got more of the hang of it, was adding the undulation and standing it, because the energy would go up. But my first real full body, mind blowing energy orgasm was in a workshop with Joseph Kramer. He taught a thing called Tantric Group Rebirth. Now, this is 70s, 80s. You know, early 90s. This was in New York. I was the only woman that came because he was a teacher at that time of gay men. And we were breathing and moving, and he was talking us through this conscious rhythmic breathing for 3 hours. And then I kind of got in the middle of a circle, and I had, and all these guys were throwing their energy at me, and we'd all been breathing so long, I just went off, like big time, full body, what people call Kundalini energy orgasm. My clothes were on, but it was very, very, very intense, and I didn't want it to stop. It was so good. That's my peacock, my white peacock in the background going, ah! That sounded like when I had that experience. It was like, ah! Very apropos that my wild peacocks, they're making the same sounds.
And what do you remember about the aftermath of that experience? Like, how did you begin to process it and think about it in terms of the rest of your sex life?
Well, I was very busy learning everything I could about sex. And I was coping with a lot of death and dying because AIDS had hit.
Right.
And I was like, my whole life was about, you know, learning everything I could about sex and eventually teaching everything I could. And I'm still there. You know, I'm still learning. I'm still teaching. I'm still doing all kinds of art projects about sexuality. And it's just endless. It's like learning about life. But that was like the most important technique. Next to getting Hitachi magic wand and, you know, discovering where my clit was, that was third up on the list. But it just came naturally because I saw sexuality as a kind of a yoga, an art, a practice, and you had this kind of palette of things you could use to enhance it. It's a very creative act when done as a creative act. And our bodies are capable of amazing things. So it was very easy to integrate that. And it does shock me how few sex manuals even mention the breath. It's just like a major oversight to me.
So for someone who's never experienced it, how would you describe the effect of conscious breathing during arousal? What happens?
Well, think of it like this. If you're in a swimming pool and you get into the pool, you feel like you're at point A, you know. And if you swim 20 laps in that pool, I was swimming yesterday in that beautiful outdoor swimming pool. By the time I did 20 laps, I was a different person. I was very relaxed. I was in a different state of mind. My body felt much more energized and relaxed. And I felt a lot of pleasure in my body. It's the same thing. It's kind of like dancing, too. It's like you go out, you feel like you're at point A, and if you dance for an hour, you're going to feel really altered, more so than maybe even that margarita you drank or that joint you smoked. Just all that movement and breathing shifts how you feel. So if you bring that into sex and move more and breathe more, you're going to feel more. And, you know, my friend Jwala used to say ecstasy travels on the breath. Mm. And the more you breathe, the more you feel. And I think that's really true. A lot of people hold their breath during sex and you're not going to feel much. I mean, that's a certain kind of excitement and fun. Of course, there is a lot of eroticism that can be had from smothering or wrestling or, you know, getting smothered in boobage or, you know, some, to take it to more extreme levels, asphyxiation, deep tongue kissing where you can't breathe. So not breathing can be a turn on too. So it's kind of like, as Joe Kramer says, playing the full range, the high keys and the low keys, doing the hard styles and the soft styles, as someone else said. But so I think the more you breathe, the better sex you're going to have in terms of overall body pleasure. It's like just like exercise. If you don't exercise, you're not really enjoying your body that much, whether it's a walk or swim or dancing or anything. yoga. Yoga is great practice too for learning about the breath. And I started taking yoga when I was 18 years old. And I think yoga is very good sex education, actually. Although they de-eroticize yoga to make it appropriate for our culture, but really, yoga is an erotic practice, I think.
Yeah, so you've named that it increases sensation, it helps you relax and get rid of tension. Do you also find that breathing more during sex heightens your emotions and you have more emotional experiences?
Oh, definitely. I've been teaching that technique that I showed you, which is, I call it ecstasy breathing, which is kind of my own synthesis of what I learned from Kutira, Harley, Swiftir, and others in yoga. I call it ecstasy breathing. It's just breathing and, you know, imagining your breath coming into different parts of your body. And at first, it's like learning tennis. It's a little clunky and strange and new, but as you practice it, it becomes really very real, very automatic. And so practicing just, I mean, it can be really simple or it could be with a visualization. And if you start breathing, you do start getting into emotional states. It can be very spiritual. When I learned the fire breath orgasm, the first year I cried. As soon as the energy got up here, like the idea is to bring it in through your genitals and breathe and breathe and imagine energy moving up. And when it got to my heart, I would have a little cry. Like for a year, I just had a cry. Then it started moving up to my throat and I coughed and gagged because, you know, I had to clear my throat of like blocked stuff. And then finally it started moving through. So now... I'm very interested in this idea of ecostatic breathing because I'm ecosexual now. And, you know, where does that life force come from? It comes from the earth and from nature, which we are all part of. And just kind of breathing with that ginormity and that earth, you know, energy and really connecting with nature with the breath, which includes people. Can be really powerful too. And I think that, you know, we have emotions all the time, every day, whether it's anger or sadness or frustration. And what I learned, Chris, that was very interesting was that you could be in a state of ecstasy and pleasure and still have sadness, anger, pain, tiredness, numbness. So that's what I call sexual healing. So it's using eroticism, sexual energy to feel your feelings, you know, and let them out.
Yeah, I remember when I first started really studying breath with Chester Maynard and Joseph Kramer and you, one of the big shockers was that I was big enough to hold all of my emotions. And it really creates this sense of expansiveness inside you. So you can literally feel more at the same time and not get overwhelmed. And that has served me so well throughout life. I'm always shocked in these moments, like when I was in hospice with my grandparents and, you know, watching them die, the breath became my primary tool for coping. And it's just come up in so many different moments of my life, joyful and sorrowful, as a primary tool of staying connected with my body, staying connected with the present moment, and feeling all that there was to feel. And what a gift that is to be able to feel more of life.
He or she that breathes more actually feels more and feels more bliss and pleasure and ecstasy also. And you taught me a really good breath technique, Chris. So what goes around comes around. I could make a decision if I should go to the adult video expo in Vegas. And you said, close your eyes, imagine going, take three breaths and see how you feel in your gut. Right. And then imagine not going and see how you feel after three breaths. And it was so clear. And I have used that. So thank you for that one. That's a really good technique. Something so simple as just being able to make a decision with the breath
Right.
It's so simple. And, you know, it does have a kind of, like, it's not as, I guess it's kind of, it's a little bit radical or transgressive because you're not really buying anything. You're not wearing a particular lingerie item. You're not getting that new sex toy. So it's kind of not consumerist.
Yeah.
It is a gift that we're given, is the breath. Of course, without breathing, there is no sex because we're dead. You know, right. So sex made possible by the breath.
Right. And even the word spirit, to inspire, the word spirit goes back to the root for breath, and breathing practices are present in every religious tradition, whether it's chanting or meditation. And why not bring that to our erotic lives and to our intimacy?
Yeah, but it's so weird. It's like our society has just very limited ideas of what's sexy in a way. Same with what we're trying to do with making the environmental movement a little more sexy, fun, and diverse. Just, you know, being out there saying that we're interested in environmental issues is kind of, people find that kind of a turnoff. And it's like really radical. So now there's kind of this sex positivity and doing porn is cool and doing sex work's cool, but being like introducing green things, green concepts and environmental issues, very uncool. But really, it's making me rethink my whole idea of what sex positive is. Mm-hmm. For example, well, this is getting a little off topic, so I don't want to do that. But
that's okay. Go for it.
Actually, my thought is that we should go back to live sex shows and stop using so much porn. Having made a bunch and certainly helped pioneer the whole idea of feminist porn and all that, I'd like to see us go back to the simple things. So breathing, you know, eye gazing, real body to body sex, and use less resources. I mean, the amount of porn that people are using is eating up the environment and the resources, but no one wants to hear that. But breath would be one thing, you know, that it's not celibate. It's like water, but they are, I mean, actually, maybe air will be for sale. We're lucky that we have clean air to breathe still, because the air is getting more polluted. I grew up in LA in the 60s. The air was black. Mm. It really was. It was black. I was very aware that the air was very dirty. And it's gotten better, but in some places it's worse, and it's affecting the whole planet. Like Alaska, for example. Yeah. Alaska, the air pollution is supposedly worse than parts of China, where it's very bad. Oh. And so that concerns me, like, how can we enjoy breathing if the air is not so good? And I really hate to think that we have to buy the clean air like we have to buy water now. But this is going political, but sex is political. You know, being alive is political. Overpopulation's political. But that interests me. But I'm sure the people who are watching this want to know more about pleasure and sexy fun. And of course, it's all connected. And of course, if... you know, I was thinking how, yes, you can consciously focus on breath and breathe more, but also when you have sex, even not thinking about it, your breathing changes. Right. You know, it totally changes. You start, you know, you start panting more, you start, you know, if you're moaning and groaning, you're making, you're breathing, you know, so...
And I was reminded when you were talking about phone sex that it's a way we tell our lover that we're aroused. And if we're not making a lot of sounds and talking dirty in bed, just the sound of the heightened breathing can really communicate our arousal.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like talking dirty. You can actually talk dirty with your breathing. You know, it's like making that those breath sounds. And that would be what I would suggest to people watching or listening that are curious about breath, that maybe aren't as aware of it, or just starting out. Step one, see what kind, what response you get from a partner from your breath sounds, or even if you're alone masturbating, making more breath sounds, see what that does to you yourself. And it's hot. I mean, it's a real turn on to hear heavy breathing, or we wouldn't have the phone sex industry that we have. And I think a lot of porn stars, you know, are very popular who do breathe.
And then,
because the guys, they may not be aware that that's why they like a certain porn star, but if you look at some of the popular ones, they're going, they're really like working their breath. Yeah. It's a turn on.
And we do talk to a lot of people who want to explore breathing, but then feel shy about looking silly or seeming goofy to their partner. What would you say, what advice would you give to people who are shy about it?
About breathing? Go work out at the gym. Make some noise there. I don't know. You know, just getting on an elevator. If you get on an elevator... And I lived in New York, so I was on a lot of elevators. I was very aware that it's considered impolite to breathe. Like, we're taught that we shouldn't let people hear us breathe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an intimate thing. Fuck that! Just get over it. You know, it's like, why do we have to stop breathing when we're on an elevator? That's bullshit. It's a fucking crappy taboo that serves no one, really. And so get over it. Just don't buy into it. It's not true. And breathing with a lover, you know, I think we're sort of taught to, you know, especially as women, to be quiet and be subtle and be, you know. And I think some people, if you're a big, heavy breather like I am, they think that you're faking something sometimes because you're so demonstrative. And you're not. You're just like really going for it, you know. So we're taught not to really go for it, not to make too much noise, not to breathe too heavy, or think people think we're crazy. I say go for it. Let people think you're crazy. And just, I think we have to educate people. It's okay to breathe heavy. It's okay to make breath sounds. It's okay to breathe in the elevator or at the gym or whatever. So I call that fixing a taboo instead of breaking a taboo. You're fixing a bad taboo. It's, you know, it's healthy to breathe.
Yeah. Love it. Let's fix the taboo of heavy breathing for sure. Do you focus on breathing every time you have sex or only some of the times? Like, how do you work it into your personal sex life?
I think it kind of comes and goes. I'm aware of my breath, certainly on a daily basis, many times. If I get stressed, I'll take a few deep breaths. If I'm sitting in the hot tub, you know, if I'm sitting in the hot tub at the, you know, I would go to this beautiful gym and it's outdoors, I'll take some nice deep breaths just to take it in. As far as sex goes, if I'm, there's the peacock. You hear him?
Definitely.
If I'm masturbating, I definitely, definitely work my breath. If I'm with a partner, which I'm with a partner for almost 11 years, Beth Stevens, and you know, just laying and breathing or cuddling and breathing, certainly. Sometimes I have to, you know, say, you know, well, let's breathe together, or let's try doing some breathing. You know, it's kind of a fun thing to do every so often. If I'm trying to go for clitoral orgasm, definitely. So I'm pretty much use breath a lot.
Yeah.
Also, if I want to build the energy, like if we're both tired and, you know, some days, you know, you feel like a lead balloon. You have a moment for sex and it's like, oh, let's take it. But you're not really, you've been so on the computer all day. So then I'll start breathing and it gets me out of my computer head. Another great use for breathing is it's a great tool if you're nervous about something sexually. For example, anal sex, something people are a little squeamish about sometimes. you know, just breathing through that, or even just even connecting with your partner, or being with someone new, or whatever is causing anxiety. If you breathe and feel the fear, feel the feelings, but it can relax you.
Yeah, I think one of the most powerful things is if you're focusing on your breathing, you have to be in the present moment. There's not a lot of space to spin out into fear and anxiety when you're really just focusing on how breath feels in your body. And so many of us get distracted during sex and let our minds wander and miss out on so much pleasure because we're not really there. And so using just a simple, relaxed, conscious breathing brings us back into our body, brings us into the present moment, and lets us show up for all the pleasure that's available to us.
Yeah. People might wonder, well, what does that mean, conscious breathing? We all are breathing all day, every day, unless we're dying or something. So we're doing it automatically. So yeah. Conscious breathing simply means that your mind is thinking about breathing. That's all. And so then you can say there's conscious rhythmic breathing, which would be being conscious and breathing rhythmically. And then there's many kind of breath patterns. So you can go, or you could go, I mean, through the nose. So the accents on one or the other, you can do the fire. The classic yoga thing is the breath of fire. You just breathe through your nose. So yes, the other thing with the breath is sometimes using your hands. I find breathing with the hands, somehow it adds a lot. For me, also rolling the eyes up and your head can pull.
And I'm noticing you're moving your spine and letting your body undulate. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, it's like, it's like, to me, that is simple sexual practice right there. And you can actually keep breathing into a kind of orgasm.
It is a full body experience.
Yeah, so you become, yes, it's very energizing, it's very ecstatic, the horses start getting erections, everybody gets all excited all around, but now I can't talk.
Well, and it's amazing, I've been in so many breath workshops where people have said, I've done so many drugs and this is the best. You know, it's really this amazing kind of hallucinatory experience sometimes, and I think that's what you name ecstasy of it. And it's amazing to realize that lives inside of us all the time. It's easily accessible. It's our really natural state of being. And yet so many of us don't tap into it because we don't breathe. It's a very human experience, right? Like it's something we're capable of and something everyone is capable of if we choose to tap into it. And I think that's a really beautiful, unifying thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at, I feel brighter. You look brighter. Our colors look brighter. Just, it's good medicine. And I'm now not in my head, yeah. See, so I can't talk, which is not a bad thing. Because if you're, you know, in your head a lot, that's one of the great things about sex is it gets you out of your head on a good day.
Let me ask you this. So one of the things you model so beautifully is the constant reinvention of sexuality. And you even coined the term metamorphosexual to describe the ever-changing fluidity of your sexuality. How do you recommend people tap into that? Is there a simple way people can start thinking of their sexuality as more fluid and allowing themselves to reinvent themselves?
I think it's just really simple. It's just being in the truth of the moment, being honest with yourself and your partner. It's that simple because we change. Life changes, our surroundings change, everything changes. So why should our sexuality stay the same? I mean, for some people it might, and there's nothing wrong with that. I had a boyfriend for a year and a half. And pretty much all we did was the missionary position. And it was fantastic. There was a beauty and a simplicity. So, you know, people who find something they like and stick with it, that's good too. In every grain of sand in the entire universe. But for some of us, we like the change. We like the adventure. We like the variety. And so it's just a matter of, like, you know, month to month, decade to decade, year to year, we have different interests. And that's, I certainly do, from kinky to spiritual to even a phase of, for a year, where I wasn't that sexual. I was exploring celibacy, which was very interesting, to exploring now eco-sexuality, to being straight, gay, bi. I've done a lot of things. That's just me. But it's just that I have to be honest. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes people might not like it because you may have to move on. There may be a deal breaker in a relationship or you know, whole communities. You might not like you anymore, you know. So if you were really involved in BDSM and suddenly you're not, you lose a whole bunch of folks that you're not part of their community in a way. So the good ones, the friends, you know, the friends stay and go through changes too. But, you know, and I think hormones change, our health changes, our business changes, our time we spend having sex changes, our partners can change. So there's so much change involved. And I guess it's going with the flow as opposed to getting stuck in something that's not working and just breathe through it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm curious, after a lifetime of a lot of sexual exploration, you may have explored sexuality more than anyone else alive today. But
oh, I think
maybe you're in the running. Maybe now in a long-term relationship of 11 years. What do you do to stay interested? How do you keep it creative and vibrant with your partner of 10 plus years?
Chris, there's a lot more people who've had a lot more than the 3,500 sex partners I've had. There's a lot of gay men out there that have had like 10,000. Will Chamberlain said he had 10,000. It was true because I was one of them. I'm sure it was true. But so it's not the amount of partners or the different things you've done. I think my little niche has been exploring sex through photography, film, media, performance, art, through art. And so starting at 17, when I lost my virginity, I started documenting my sex life. So I may be a person around today that's really one of the people that's really documented their personal sexual journey through art projects or porn or non-art, you know, but creative, putting it out there through workshops. So that is what Beth and I do a lot of too, is we are always exploring sex through our art projects. So, for example, I had breast cancer. And when my hair started falling out, we said, let's do a photo shoot, shaving each other's heads, and we'll fist each other. And photographer David Steinberg came over. So we documented that experience. It was very intense and very beautiful, and the pictures were published and then put in art galleries and things like that. So through our artwork, cameras are a great excuse, or deadline, or having an art exhibit is a great excuse to say, okay, well, like right now, we're making a theater piece. We got a grant, believe it or not, from the San Francisco Arts Commission. So the city of San Francisco is paying awesome. For us to do this, a theater piece about eco-sexuality. So a couple nights ago, we actually went camping. And because we're going to make this an eco-sex boot camp. So we went camping and we actually went across the street to the campground, set up the tent, and we slept on the earth on a sleeping bag and a yoga mat. And I was very aware that I was connecting erotically with the earth. And I woke up and we were both really horny. And it's really because of the theater project that we're doing this exploration and connecting with nature erotically. And so my whole sex life is like expanding, and sometimes it does contract if I'm on the computer too much.
Yeah.
But it's also, but the creativity and sexuality are very linked. So, you know, and we're very busy. So it's hard to sometimes make time for sex. So one of the ways we do that is we do a performance piece where we spend 14, 16 hours in bed. Or we made a bed of dirt and we invited people who came to this art gallery to take off their clothes and get in a bed of dirt with us. So we're having erotic, sensual, sexual explorations all the time. And it's often funneled through our work. So we've made our life's work into sexually related stuff. So that's how we do it. But it's not for everyone, obviously. But that's how we're, we also have a very expanded concept of sexuality. So like just the breathing I just did, that's part of my sex life. Just even looking at you, Chris, you're beautiful, gorgeous woman, smile, person, being in front of me, I'm in love with you. Oh, you know, like if you really allowing, saying yes to the eroticism and sexuality that's all around all the time, then you're having sex all the time. And not only that, Beth and I have really taken the earth as our lover. So, you know, nature, the eroticism and pleasure in nature is, so that's a big part. I'm looking at some red roses right now. And I'm going, oh, my God, those are just like, it's like seeing a beautiful man or woman walk down the street. It's like a very similar kind of thing. And believe me, I look at men, I look at women, I adore trans people. So I'm always looking and taking in. I'm a very visual person. So I get a lot of eroticism through my eyes and through my breath, through my breath. I have intercourse with the air I breathe. I really do, Chris. I imagine that the oxygen, the air is fucking me. It's, you know, it's very experimental. It's very expanded. But for me, it's totally real and a big part of my sexuality. So I'm getting fucked every day by the universe. And, you know, some days I'm not feeling that erotic or sexual. That's okay, too. And sometimes, you know, I'm busy getting the tires on the car or something that maybe isn't that sexy. Doing finances, I find very unsexy. There are moments that are unsexy, but I can often find eroticism and pleasure in a lot of things. And the breath, I think the breath, when you really learn about sex and breath, I think it's a paradigm shifting experience. It really opens a doorway into an expanded view of your sexuality. It's a major piece to it. Once you learn what's possible, the amount of energy, ecstasy, orgasm possible through breath.
Amen.
When you really go through that door, you can never go back and you're forever changed. And it just becomes part of it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest gifts I was given at a pretty early age when I was 21, 22, and came out to San Francisco to work with you and with Joseph Kramer and enter the world of erotic massage. More than anything else, the breath work is what has fueled me for the past 10 years. Yeah.
Wow. And I think you remember, Chris, when I was at Vassar and you were there right after your breathing and I just got a hit. I was like, she's going to be a great sex educator. I could see that. Didn't I say that to you? Like that first time we met?
Yeah.
Like I could spot talent. So I like being right.
And I turned down a job in New York City and got in my car after graduation and moved to San Francisco. Best choice I ever made.
Oh, yeah. then you found Charlotte, who's been such a great collaborator and partner. I'm so happy. Yay. And, you know, breath, you can do conscious, deep, rhythmic breathing without it being erotic. Right. You know, rebirthing, they don't really talk about that. Yoga, they don't really talk about the erotic. You can repress the erotic part. Now, how do we actually do erotic breathing? It's just a matter of saying yes to the erotic part. It's allowing the erotic part into it. So if you're one of those people watching this and you go, well, I've done breath work, I've done breath stuff, it hasn't been erotic for me. Might I point out that you've never tried to let it be erotic or make it erotic. So now go back to the drawing board and add that piece just by saying, yes, I'm going to add the erotic. I'm going to allow it to be sexual, erotic. I'm going to allow it to be really pleasurable. So it's a mind switch that you can go there and really let yourself go all the way. And you will see, that you can do it, and anyone can learn this. This technique of more deep, rhythmic, conscious breathing that is sexy, sexual, erotic. You just have to let yourself have the experience.
Thank you so much, Annie. It's really good to see you.
Really nice to see your beautiful, shining face and your lovely smile. My mother's calling.
Cool, get it.
Bye.
I love you, Annie.
Yes.